kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole Martin. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm alive. I'm not kicking, but I am alive.
That is good to hear. I am barely alive myself this episode, although I recorded a review yesterday and I felt a lot better. So that's going to be really fun to just go from me sounding like this to me halfway, you know, okay, and then back to this.
So. Terrible.
But we're not alone. We are joined, making his return to the show, Chris Huber. How are you doing?
You know, I'm working a lot. I'm doing some things, but I'm all right.
You're here.
I'm glad to be here and talk some pre-E3 things.
I know. You should show up next week, too, for the actual E3 news.
I mean, I'm obviously going to want to talk E3 stuff.
Obviously. What are you doing Sunday? You should come over and just hang out and we'll watch the Microsoft conference together.
When is the conference?
I don't remember. I think like two.
It's a four.
Four maybe? Yeah, that sounds right too.
We'll see. Possibly.
I'll just look it up and see what the schedule is.
I know Saturdays and Sundays are like my days to try and like get some stuff done now, but well, Sundays. I'm off. I think I'm off Saturday. I'm not sure yet. But yeah, if I am, that's going to be catching up on stuff. I wonder that, like, is Microsoft's the first conference?
Actually, EA is the first one on Saturday at 2:00 Eastern time.
Those bastards.
On Sunday, we've got Microsoft at 4 Eastern, Bethesda at 9:30 Eastern, and then Devolver at 11 Eastern.
Ooh.
And then Monday, you've got Square Enix at 1 p.m. Eastern, Ubisoft at 4, the PC show at 6, and Sony is at 9:00, and then Tuesday is Nintendo at noon.
Goddamn.
And all of those are Eastern time, because that's the time zone I'm in, and that's the only one that matters.
Because that's the one that matters, yeah.
Nobody else knows how to read clocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Clocks are confusing.
Just Google it.
But yeah, there's some good news, pre-E3 news going on this week. I think the biggest news is that there were rumors this week that Crackdown 3 was going to be delayed again, and Microsoft confirmed that it is now coming out February 2019. Yeah.
I mean, so I'm not terribly familiar. Like, I didn't play through the first one, so I don't know how my expectations are really going to be for this game, but with that being said, everything that's been going on around the game so far doesn't necessarily make me feel too confident about it.
Yeah.
Or do you feel like it makes you feel the opposite way? Because I can see both sides of it, and I want to try and look at it optimistically of like, yeah, they're pushing it back because they want to make it good. But then it's like, how many times do you have to push it back before you really feel like you've got it? Like,
I am expecting the worst with this game right now. I don't know. I really liked the first game. I really enjoyed the second game as well. And the third game I've been so excited about, but it's been getting delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed that I kind of lost hope for it.
I think the
backlash from the Scalebound cancellation is kind of hanging over Microsoft's head as far as Crackdown goes, and they kind of probably feel like they can't even try to cancel it at this point because there would just be a shitstorm.
Oh, they would be crucified if it got canceled.
Because that shitstorm is at least a little less powerful than the cancellation shitstorm would be.
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out and all of the whole cloud processing and the destruction that they've been showing off, I wouldn't be shocked if it's all gone.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Maybe they were just getting slightly too ambitious and didn't really necessarily know how much it was going to involve.
Maybe. Let's just hope E3 brings some games for Microsoft, because that was one of the few games this year that we knew about that was going to be one of their big flagpole titles, and now that's gone.
I think they're working the art style, though. That's my theory. And I'm sticking to it, and nobody can change my mind. Because everybody bitched about the art style when they saw it, and they didn't even focus on any of the cloud processing or exploding surroundings or anything. They were just like, oh my god, it looks cartoony. And so they've gone, shit!
I mean, the other two games were both cel-shaded and cartoonish looking.
I know, but people had a fit about it now, and so they may just be like, well, we have no choice.
I don't know. I think that's what I think happening. I think that's low on the list of things that, like, I'm not expecting any change to visuals, because that's just the style of Crackdown, is that animated, cel-shaded look.
I would be shocked if they ended up wanting to go to a different type of, because that's just like, it's almost like if Borderlands were to change at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if Borderlands 3 was going to come out and it was all, like, pseudo-realistic-y, like,
super serial. I
would say that changing it realistic would be a good idea. Just as I think that they're changing, and they might even not go full scale realism on it, but I half expect the art style to.
Do you think it'll shift more like?
I think it would shift more realistic. It just wouldn't be like an immediate push all the way toward full scale realism. It's just
okay. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think it's necessary.
No, I don't think it's necessary. But there just seems to be this weird animosity toward anything that's not hyper-realistic right now. Like, everybody,
other than Fortnite, basically.
Yeah, like, yeah. Everybody lost their shit over how good Detroit Being Human looked. And it does... But it's a point and click, and everybody rails on point and clicks, but this one looks good, so it's okay.
Well, Detroit's not a point and click, is it? It's just a David Cage adventure game. It's quick time event, the video game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I'm kind of interested in it. I may end up picking that up for myself, because I don't think I told you this, but I have a PlayStation 4 now. I don't have any games for it, but I have one.
Why?
Just because I want to try and play some of the exclusives, and that's it. I want to play God of War. I want to try, like, I've never played any of the Uncharteds.
Well, so. You can get the trilogy for fairly cheap.
Oh, yeah, I figured.
The Uncharted trilogy.
Yeah, I might do that. I want to try Infamous. I want to do the Detroit game, because I actually really liked Heavy Rain when I had my PS3, so...
You don't seem like the kind of guy who would be into David Cage games, but, you know, I've been surprised before. So.
Well, see, now, the only reason why I'm into those types of games on occasion is because that's my equivalent of a movie. Like, I'm not a movie guy. I would rather play a game like that. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. You would probably enjoy Until Dawn, though.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I'm going to grab that too. Because fucking, I mean, Ash is in it. Hey, Ash, what you playing?
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's the main voice actor.
Well, speaking of PlayStation, February looks like it's going to be busy already, because Crackdown got delayed there. And then on top of that, Sony announced that their third person action game, Days Gone, is releasing February 22nd, 2019. So there's already a battleground forming in February.
I'm not surprised that it's pushed back a bit.
Well, I don't think they ever announced a date for that. I think this is the first time that they announced a date on Days Gone.
Yeah, but I kind of thought it was going to come out later on this year, because of they're not the type of people that normally go like, well, I guess I can't say that either, where they go and, oh, here's this game that we're going to come out with, and then they wait like 4 years. Microsoft like every- does that shit all Like,
well, Sony are the kings of doing that shit at E3. Like, we're still waiting on anything related to Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
And Shenmue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A fucking Shenmue. I forgot that they even, like, showed that the 1 year.
Yeah, they did. And they didn't even show the game. They just showed, like, hey, we're launching a Kickstarter for the game.
Kickstarter for it, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I don't know. Here's some fun news for us, Chris. Guitar Hero Live's GHTV mode is shutting down in December.
Color me shocked.
So, like, I think someone said 96% of the songs in the game are going away because of
that.
That's
fucking hilarious. Like, yeah.
Including Chevelle's The Clincher, which is the only reason I bought the fucking game.
See, but, like, here's the terrible thing about it. Didn't I talk about this when the game fucking launched? that I was like, you know, down the road, they're just going to cancel the service, and then you're going to have a game with nothing, like, no fucking songs.
Yeah. Now you just have the shitty on-disc set list that has, like, maybe five good songs.
And one of the worst plastic guitars I've ever played in my life.
Oh, God, I hate that thing.
Yeah, fuck that game.
And I'm probably still going to go back to it and put more time into it just so I could enjoy that purchase while I can.
Until it's literally worthless.
Yeah. But speaking of servers, here's the news you've been waiting for, Chris. The servers for Skate 3 have come back online.
Joe, have you looked at my recent Xbox Live activity?
No.
Have you noticed that literally, like, I haven't been on my Xbox Live in, like, months, and now every day I'm on Skate 3 again?
Shocking.
Like, literally every day. Since the announcement. Like, they announced it that day. I came home. I re-downloaded it. I installed it. Fucking got everything going. I hop in. Lost, like, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever. Then I got my one buddy who was my only other friend that I actually knew that played the game back in the day. I told him about it. I literally texted him. I'm like, listen, you need to get Skate again. We need to play again. They just turned all the servers back on. He was like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to buy it right now.
Yeah, and I think Skate 2 came back online as well.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that's so good. I think the part that, like, really threw me for a loop was that, like, so in Skate 3, oh, also, by the way, some of the achievements that I was missing that I couldn't fucking get before because they were literally, like, you could not get them without the servers being on, I've already taken care of them. I think I'm close to 100%ing it, finally, now. Which, that's, like, that was my main thing. I was, like, that was the first thing that popped in my head. I'm, like, they turned the servers back on. I could finally 100% this game so that Joe could get off my dick.
Like, when was I on your dick about it?
Anytime I went through my score, he was like, what do you mean you didn't 100% that game? You're on it all the time.
Yeah, probably.
I was like, you can't get them, though.
Well, now you can, so you better 100% it, you dick.
Yep. I've already gotten four that I was missing.
How many are left?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I've got to be really close, though. Like, super close.
Too many. Got to be on top of this.
Well, I mean, I'm going to play it tonight, so I'm just going to check when I'm on tonight.
Oh, man. Let's see. What other news do I have?
That was big enough to get me to stop playing Rocket League as my wind-down game the past couple nights.
Wow.
That's strong. Like, now, before we move on from that, do you think that there is ulterior motives as to why they did that? Do you
I think Skate 4 is getting announced at E3.
You really think so?
I think on Saturday, I'm going to get a text from you going, fucking dude, did you fucking see fucking Skate 4? Fucking it's happening. Oh, my fucking God. It's happening. Oh, my God.
Hold on. Here's the thing, right? So when you told me the servers came back on, obviously my immediate reaction was, oh, my God, Skate 4. But then I went, wait a minute. Let's take a step back. Let's look at it from the perspective of being realistic. Okay.
So what are your thoughts then?
I think it could potentially just be them turning the servers back on so that the Skate community could still kind of do its thing and they could kind of, like, hold themselves over for longer until another one comes out. You know what I mean?
I don't know. If they were doing that, I think they would have put the servers back on right when they became backward compatible.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they waited until 4 days before their E3 conference. 4 days. Four.
I know it's suspect. I know it's suspect. I don't know. I just don't want to have my heart broken. Joe, listen, you know how important this is. Like, you really know how important this is. They can't play with my emotions like
Skate
that.
Skate to you is like what Rock Band is to me. Like, when they shut down Rock Band, when back on episode 0 of this fucking show, when Rock Band first shut down, I was crushed. And then Rock Band came back. And now it's your turn, Chris. It's your time for Skate to return.
Listen, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to spiral so hard. I
bought the heroin. I am ready.
Listen, like, this, this might be one of the biggest letdowns of my life. Like, this is like, and that's why I don't want to invest my hopes into E3. Like, even if they don't even do anything with it, like if they announce one maybe like a year or two from now, I'll be happy. That's fine. If it eventually happens, that's good. I do not have high hopes that it's going to be that soon.
Really?
I really don't. Like, and I say soon because, like, yeah, I mean, obviously, what, Skate 3 came out fucking ages ago at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I don't even know what year, but it's long enough that I can't imagine them actually diving back into doing it without somebody else essentially taking it over.
Well, yeah, they would have a developer do it.
But like, there's nobody really out there that can do that game, in my opinion.
Skate 3 was in 2010, May 2010.
Holy fuck. I mean, basically as long as I was holding out for Diablo 3, right?
I don't know, man. I think this is it. I think it's happening.
We'll see.
Well, all you gotta do is come over Saturday. We could watch it together, and just in case it doesn't show up, I could be your shoulder to cry on.
You can console me.
Yes.
I'll seek shelter inside of your bosom.
I like Ian in the chat saying, we would like to apologize for getting everyone's hopes and dreams up and then crushing their hopes, dreams, and rainbows, but we wanted to make it absolutely clear just how much we hate Chris Huber and wanted to utterly shatter his soul with this stunt. Last we heard, he's still inconsolably sobbing and eating cookies in the shower.
All right. I think that might be the first time I've ever heard of a shower cookie. I might have to try that sometime.
Isn't
when they
ice cream
don't
in the
announce
shower?
Skate, right. What? No, I have not done that. Have you?
Well, no, isn't that what the whole stereotypical thing is? You're crying and eating ice cream in the shower?
I thought it was like shower beer.
Shower beer is like an everyday thing, though.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you don't need a special occasion to have a beer in the shower.
I mean, for me, I would have to have a beer. I don't like...
Beer. But the depression thing, you got it. Ice cream is for depression, crying is for depression, and crying in the shower is for depression. So eating ice cream in the shower. Yeah, mix it all together. Cry while eating ice cream in the shower.
Do you have to have like a rom-com, like on like, not even on a TV, but just like in a shower radio? Like
it's on your phone, and you have your phone in a Ziploc baggie so it doesn't get wet.
I'm just picturing this scenario, and it's just like it's getting better and better.
It's like Must Love Dogs is playing or some shit.
Just the part in Air Bud where he has the dog go onto the raft.
Okay.
And it's like, spoiler alert.
You're an Air Bud fan?
I mean, did that movie not move you?
I never watched Air Bud.
What?
Yeah, fuck me, right? I've never watched Air Bud.
Dude. Well, I know what you're doing tonight.
Not watching, continuing to not watch Air Bud. That is
Listen,
what I'm
Joe,
doing.
For me, can you watch Air Bud? Can you just one? Make sure it's the first one, because they had a bunch of spin-off bullshit dumb ones that, like, don't matter. Just go to the original.
Bring it over.
Hey, look, you do not talk bad about Santa Buddies.
Listen, there is one and only Air Bud, and that is it.
Oh, my God.
My kids make me watch Santa Buddies year-round.
Year-round?
Year-round.
Oh.
My condolences.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't have kids.
Wasn't planning on it.
So, Chris, do you remember a while back when Ashley and Jordan had their whole Spice World evening?
Yes, I do.
We're going to do that with Air Bud.
Oh, fuck yeah, we are. Because, absolutely.
Because what else is there to do during Air Bud? So
I get it.
Bring it over and we'll watch it together.
Air Bud. Fuck and yeah,
then, and then we'll cry in the shower
eating ice
cream.
You have to rent it from a Blockbuster, though.
Okay, so you have to go to Alaska to find a,
yep. find a Blockbuster
still.
Can I call them and just like, excuse me, sir, do you have a copy of Air Bud?
Yep. Ian again in chat saying there are two types of people in the world, people who proactively watch Air Bud and people who don't eat paint chips.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, spoiler alert, when Air Bud is put onto this raft, like, as a kid, when I see this, like, my mind is fucking, like, completely, it's going bonkers. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, kid? You just put a dog on a raft going down a river, like, I'm losing my mind. And I'm like, this dog is dead. Like, this kid killed this fucking dog. Like,
you murdered it. You murdered the dog. You just sent it out to die.
Yeah. So I was just like, yeah, that movie fucked me up, man.
Like, man, we got really distracted from the news, huh?
I mean,
it wasn't my fault this time.
Joe, listen, that's like the only thing that I ever do. Like, how could you ever expect that it would go some other way?
I didn't. That's okay, why you're here. Okay. Otherwise, we had an interview fall apart today because of a family emergency. So I brought you on to waste time.
Well, hey, you know what I'm really good at doing?
Mission accomplished. Oh, man. So let's see. What other news is there? 3 games were added to the backward compatible list today this week. Rockstar Table Tennis.
Fuck yes, dude.
Midnight Club Los Angeles. And Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Ooh, I have a digital copy of San Andreas, too.
The problem is, I think there's issues with San Andreas. It's supposed to be worked out that either version of San Andreas that you had, whether it's the Xbox original or whether it was the 360 version, is supposed to work and give you the 360 version of the game, but it's not even showing up for most people.
Interesting.
Like, if you own it digital, it's not showing up and you're ready to install. It didn't show up in my ready to install. I found it in the store and it had the thing there for like C price, and I clicked on it and it was like, thank you for your purchase. And it downloaded, and it didn't like the system doesn't recognize that it's the game. It's just a blank app.
That's weird.
So I think something's fucked up with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait a little bit until I hear if, like, all that stuff gets resolved. I'm fairly certain that my copy was digital, so have to see. It was definitely a 360 version of it, obviously.
Yeah, but people with the disc version are having no problems, so.
I'm sure they'll work. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, hope so. But yeah, 3 big games in 1 week.
Dude, I need to get Rockstar Table Tennis is what I need.
Well, that game was on sale this week. All 3 of those games are on sale this week, by the way.
How much for the table tennis?
I think they're $10 each, something like that.
That's not bad. Yeah, no. I would pay $10 for that game.
Well, I want to say table tennis is cheaper.
They're probably going to be 30 at GameStop now.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I used to be able to see like table tennis going for like $3.
But every time they have one that's backward compatible, it just goes shithead crazy.
Joe, you played that game, right?
What, table tennis?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
What? Why?
You just lost the friendship, man.
Because I was too busy watching Air Bud.
All right, listen. Another one. I'll get a copy of it. We'll play it. It's good. Dude, it's surprisingly good. Like, really good.
I own it. I just never got to it. Oh, it's only $5.99 for gold this week.
Perfect.
There you go.
It's actually, like, it is. It's surprisingly good.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good about the game. I just never sat down and played it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's definitely fun. We'll have to play it.
Sounds good. Saturday, we'll come over. You'll come over. We'll play some Rockstar Table Tennis. Then we'll watch the EA conference. And then we'll cry in the shower together after they don't announce Skate 4.
I mean, if they don't announce it, I will cry. Because now you built up my fucking hopes. It's bad.
I feel like we need video evidence of this promise. This is a test of your trustworthiness.
Listen, it'll be one. It'll be one solitary giant tear. I'm just gonna work everything up into one meaningful drop.
Just one.
Yep.
It'll be just one steady stream.
It's gonna be like no. It's gonna you remember the what was it, the old Indian guy like on the side of the road, like,
oh yeah,
crying because of all the pollution,
the trash, yeah.
Exactly. So it's going to be kind of like that, but only just like, just one. Just, you know, like, I'm just going to stare off into the distance, and there's just going to be a single tear that just drops.
It'll be like 9 times larger than a normal teardrop. It'll be like
it'll
golf ball rolling down.
It'll be like the size of my pupil.
Just your eye pops out and rolls down your cheek.
Basically. I'm just going to pick it back up and just pop it back in.
How good are you at makeup? Because you could just get some body paint and do like Binding of Isaac tears down your cheek.
Oh my
god. Oh god.
I'll just print out a bunch of stickers. That'll look really realistic.
Oh my lord. Let's see. Last bit of news I have. I really don't follow Steam news too much, but Dark Mika wanted me to bring this up on the show. There's been a lot of fuss over Valve policing what content is uploaded to their store and what isn't. I guess a lot of visual novels have been running into issues with sexuality and nudity. And Steam just this week released a statement saying that except for things that they determine are illegal or, quote, straight up trolling, they will be allowing everything onto the Steam store. Chris, have you followed this at all?
I have a bit. And so when the story initially broke, everybody was obviously questioning, like, how they thought about them taking down the games, like, and they thought it was due to the nature in the game. They actually came out and had, I forget where I found the article that had this information, but they were basically saying that they removed the games because of some of the actions of the developer directly, not because of the content of the games. Like, if he did something shitty, like he was being an idiot, and I guess I don't know if he was like harassing a bunch of people or like it was something that the developer was doing directly, and that was their repercussions for that. And then a bunch of people just kind of latched on to, I guess he probably, like the guy who made the games, probably posted that it was because of the content of the games and not because of what he did, because he didn't want to look like an asshole. Because I initially, my opinions about the story were completely different. I was like, oh, that's fucked up. Like, Steam always, like, used to be much better about, like, you know, letting people freely, you know, distribute the games that they end up putting out. And because I've always kind of, like, known for them to be like that, I thought it was slightly suspect, and I dug deeper, and then I found that information out myself. So I don't know if other people are really, like, putting that into the story as well, but from the digging that I did, that was what I had come up with. So I mean, because I found that information out, my opinion on the story is like, I completely like disregarded it after that, because at that point I can kind of understand and justify, like, if this dude was being an idiot, then okay, yeah, take his shit off. But like, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with the content of the actual game itself.
Gotcha. Well, I know, like, even some games strip out a lot of the sexual stuff, and they have to have uncensored patches on Steam, stuff like that. I wonder if this is going to affect that, or if they're just going to leave everything in games now, or I wonder if this will even lead to more shitty shovelware games just showing up, if they're really saying everything's going to be allowed. I mean,
they always show up anyway. Like, it's just like, if you really dig into the Steam library, like, there's a lot of shit. Like, there's a lot of shit.
Well, there's what, hundreds of games every day anymore?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what pretty much anybody that considers themselves a game developer, and pretty much anybody that wants to disguise themselves as a game developer, will release their shit on Steam because it's so easy to do so.
You don't even have to dig, just go to the free to play section.
Yeah, dude, there's some really terrible shit on there. Yeah, man, like, it's just, I feel like it's more so the responsibility of the consumer to know to do your research on a game before you just go out and buy one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think most people realize nowadays, like, there are a lot of games out there that you know that you're not going to enjoy, so you should take the time to, like, figure out what it is that you actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there's always going to be people that are just trolling out and putting out shovelware bullshit games just to try and get those people that don't know enough to check a game first, you know?
Yeah.
Realistically, though, there are some games that just don't need to be out there. Like, there's no excuse for an active school shooter game.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
I mean, that's... And this is where I wish, whatever sparked the whole thing aside, the thing that bothered me most about the statement was that it was just very on the fence. It was like, well, we're not going to do anything. Everything's fine, except maybe this if we change our minds. And it's just like, okay, if you ride that fence any harder, you're going to get splinters in your ass.
See, but at the same time, like, I also understand that, and to me, if I was a game developer, right, and I'm putting my stuff on somebody else's platform to sell my game, if I don't adhere to whatever rules and guidelines that platform puts down, that's my right. own, that's my own fault. So I feel like it's still up to Valve. Like, if they don't want to put somebody's shit on there, they don't have to. Like, it's still their, you know what I mean? It's their service. They have the rights to be able to go like, nah, we're just not feeling this one.
That's where I just wish they would have been a little more hardline about it, because they do have that right to just say, no, we're not cool with active school shooter type games, or, you know,
I think that would fall under the straight up trolling.
Right.
It does, but it's just such a shitty way to say it. Just outright say, we're going to have a stance, you know, a line in the sand somewhere. But it just feels like it was just, I don't want to use the term pussyfoot, but it sounds like they pussyfooted around it.
Well, I mean,
what's wrong with pussyfoot?
They always have to do the more, like, I guess, like, conservative route of making those types of statements, just because they don't want to, you know, start up a shitstorm. You know, it's basically that you kind of have to do everything that you can to take some of the sensationalism out of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you just kind of like squash it immediately and don't feed into it, then that's probably the smarter way to go about it. So I'm not necessarily against them for handling it the way that they did. I think they could have more clearly put that it was because of the actions of the developer. Like, there is a statement out there somewhere. I'll have to try and see if I can find it. But I know, like, I looked into it the other night. I think it was just last night. I was looking into it a little bit more because this was starting to gain a little bit more traction again. And that was what I had come across. So
makes sense.
That's the news I have though. That's all you got?
Yeah. That's the news I got for the week.
Oh my God, Joe, you missed the one that I figured you were going to be all over, like all over right now.
And which one?
The new fucking Tetris game, dude.
I only saw a little bit on it, and I didn't really want to dive into it if I didn't see tons on, like, I don't know. A new Tetris game, interesting. The fact that it's going to be PlayStation exclusive,
Joe,
already kind of loses me.
You know who's making it, right?
The people who made Res Infinite.
And Luminous.
Yeah.
It's Luminous Tetris, Joe.
I didn't see a trailer on it. I really didn't look up too much of Ian saying, you heard it here, folks. Joe doesn't give a fuck about Tetris. I don't know. I didn't see enough on it yet.
Joe, this game literally fucking screams you. Like, it screams you. like, this is your game.
I'm always excited for new Tetris, but again, the biggest thing is I don't care about PlayStation games.
Okay, but here's some of the interesting things about it. And this might be, like, again, I'm kind of like, meh, because it's a PlayStation exclusive, but because of the guy that's actually making it, because of even the visual aspects of it, like, so what they're trying to pull in, like, I guess, I really want you to watch the trailer. You didn't watch the trailer at all either?
No. Dude, I've been sick all day, and the news just came out today. So I really didn't look at too much today.
Okay. I need to find this trailer and I need to send it to you like now. Because
I'm not going to watch it during the show.
No, you should.
No, I'm not going to watch it during the show.
Well, the reason why I say that is because it looks like they're trying to take, like, I want your fucking opinion on this so bad. Like, so they're going to have like a VR thing with it. And the visualizations and stuff that are going on alongside the game are batshit. Like, total batshit. But in a good
way. Fine, I'm pulling up a trailer on my phone now.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just like the old times, Joe. We gotta watch it and get the real reactions. Because, again, like, for you, now, there's not...
The first formal studies of the phenomenon was at Harvard Medical School in the year 2000. Participants played the game for 7 hours each, spread over the course of 3 days.
I just hope people enjoy the fact that they're going to hear a trailer but not see anything on the show.
And you really need to see it. They're going to have a chance to, like, you should really see this trailer. Imagery from the game hours. It's really cool. They finished playing, often just
as they were falling asleep. Oh, shit. I hit the wrong button.
Boo!
Boo! I suck. Boo! Go fuck yourself. Oh, no, don't start over. What the hell? Son of a bitch. This is what happens, Chris. This is what happens. Let me
do it.
Scroll in a bit. Oh my god, it's a 2 minute long it's a 3 minute long video?
Joe, just watch it. Joe, just watch it. It's like, for you, it's really important.
Yeah, it looks trippy as hell. Oh, we're getting a copyright strike on this.
Do you see it, Joe?
Yeah, it looks trippy.
But do you see that it's like going with the music?
Yes.
That's like gonna be part of the game. It's music and Tetris. It's your game.
And it's PlayStation VR, so like I said, I'm excited for it. I just didn't have a chance to really sit and watch anything because I've been sick all day.
But now you watched it, and now I can get your opinions on it.
Chris is sitting there like he's holding it in his hands, just under Joe's nose, like, please be proud of it.
Love me, Daddy. Please love me.
I think, like, I figured you'd be way more pumped for this, because, like, even me, like, I'm not as good at Tetris as you are, and I'm excited for it.
What makes you excited about it?
It's the atmosphere of it, and the fact that, like, it's not just the puzzle of because, like, to me, just the standard basic puzzle aspect of Tetris will get old. I know that for other people it doesn't, but for me it gets old.
Ian says, Chris, on a scale of Air Bud to Space Buddies, how buddy would you classify this new Tetris game?
I would go full Air Bud.
Full Air Bud.
Full Air Bud.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I think it's really just like, you know, I think VR is something that I know not everybody is obviously going to be like really gung-ho about, but especially after playing Super Hot over at your place, like there are certain games that I feel like VR can really take, like it could take a game to a whole nother level and make you appreciate it like that much more. And I think something like Tetris, especially with the way that they're incorporating all of the environments around it and like kind of incorporating more of like the music and like with the Luminous kind of like approach as well. I think this is like the perfect marriage of like a VR game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially for a puzzle game. You know what I mean? Like how other than like something like, yeah, I guess you could consider Super Hot almost like a puzzle game. When you really think about it,
but it very much is.
Right. But like, to me, a conventional puzzle game of like something like Tetris, putting that into VR, like the way that they're approaching it in this manner, I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And without it being, again, like they're adding like all the visual elements, like that's something to kind of like take it to a whole nother level, you know?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to buy it because it's fucking Tetris. I buy pretty much everything Tetris related. I just, you know, if they announced it closer to release, the fact that it's fall, like, I don't want to wait that long. That takes me out of it right there. If they were like, it comes out next month, I'd be, fuck yeah, I'm excited for this. But just the fact that it's so far away, I don't want to get my hopes up yet. And even still, like, to me, the perfect Tetris game is still Tetris DS.
That's a good one. That's a great one.
I think that is the ultimate Tetris game. And that was pretty much a Nintendo production. And I'm curious to see what Sony does with their own Tetris version now.
I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions, but Tetris is big where they're at. I mean, they have fucking like Tetris cafes, man. Like,
yeah, I'm excited. I'm sorry that I'm not like as excited as you expected, but let's not forget the important thing. I've been sick today.
Well, no, I understand.
So my energy is very low the way it is.
I'm
excited, Chris. I promise you, I'm excited about a new Tetris game.
Okay.
He's not excited.
I'm just not flipping my shit over it. No, I'm legitimately interested. I'm interested in seeing more in it, and I'm interested in getting my hands on it. I just wish it wasn't so far away.
Yeah, I mean, I just expect announcements to get further and further away from the actual release dates of games anymore. I don't know if that's just like a pessimistic way of looking at it, but I'm just kind of, I don't know. I've just gotten used to it at this point.
No Time is saying, what about Columns, Tetris's goofy cousin?
Listen, I loved Columns. I used to play the shit out of Columns. Hey,
that's on the new Genesis collection that just came out.
Mm-hmm. I have it on the PC Genesis collection that I have in my Steam library, I believe.
Mm.
But yeah, man, Columns was the shit. That was my jam. I had a Genesis. Like, I went from Nintendo to Genesis. So yeah, Columns was my puzzle game of choice.
I was Nintendo to Super Nintendo to PlayStation to N64.
Oh, and Mean Bean Machine.
Oh, fuck yeah, Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah. So those were mine.
Cool. So what other news? Oh, you got anything?
No, I do not. I don't.
If there's no more news, yeah. There is something else that we could talk about.
Like what? Because I was going to say we have a giveaway to do.
No predictions for E3 since we're only like a couple days away.
Let's see. Well, what are your predictions? Let's start with you, Chris. What do you think we're going to see?
I mean, let's go first. What do you want to see that we haven't seen enough, like that we haven't seen a lot of yet? Like, I want to see
exclusive Xbox games. That's what I want to see.
I mean, yeah, I want to see that too. I know we're going to end up seeing a little bit more information on the new Horizon. Like, I would be baffled if we didn't. Let's take it conference by conference, right? First one is EA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
EA, I'm expecting a lot of sports games, and then probably more shooters. They'll probably show off one indie game that is going to be their artsy game for the year, and they're going to show off Skate 4. That's my guess.
That final answer? That's
yes.
What you're going with?
Yes. Sports, shooters, one artsy indie game, and Skate.
What shooters? Like Battlefield?
Battlefield. They'll probably maybe show some DLC for Battlefront.
Okay.
Anthem.
Yeah,
you think
Anthem.
We'll see Anthem this year?
I don't think it'll be released this year, but I think we'll see more like a trailer or something for it.
Joe? Yeah?
I think it's releasing next year. I thought they said it was going to be early 2019, but who knows?
I don't remember.
It seems most likely. Yeah.
Throw it in February. Throw it with Crackdown and Days Gone. Let's make February the new November.
Sure. So, I think some sports games, obviously, that's pretty much like their repertoire. Obviously, we'll see some Battlefield stuff. I do like the call that there might be some DLC for Battlefront. I didn't really think about that, but that does make a lot of sense. I want to see them like really like showcase two indie games, at least two. Like the way that they did, what was it? Way Out? Was that them?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yep. Yeah. So I really liked when they were doing everything with that, because it made me like genuinely excited for the game, even though I haven't played it yet. I think I kind of want to see something a little bit more, I don't want to say out there, but yeah, out there. Like I want to see something that's a little bit more like risky.
I would like to. I just don't think we will. You're saying predictions, not wishful thinking. Wishful thinking, we'd get fucking Kingdoms of Amalur 2.
I mean,
that would be amazing. It's never going to happen, but that's wishful thinking. I think the EA conference is going to be a boring beginning to E3. That's my thought.
I don't think that Skate's going to be there.
No, you're going with that?
I really don't think it's going to be there. If it's going to be there, I'm going to shit my pants. Like,
then maybe I don't want you over here if you're going to shit yourself.
Dude, like, I don't know.
I'm going to take the middle road and say that it'll be a Skate remaster.
Listen, I'll take that. I'll totally take that. That, sure. Absolutely.
Very possible. Could be.
If they give me that, I'll be happy. That I could absolutely see happening. A full-blown new game? I don't know. Remaster? Sure. I'll take that.
All right. Cole, what about you? Anything else from E3 or from EA's E3?
Not from EA. I mean, it, like you said, it's pretty sports. Standard fare in sports, and we might get one or two from the EA originals. you know, indie lineup, but I
really,
I don't
think honestly, I know this is going to sound stupid, but I'd really love to see some other Sims stuff.
I love the Sims.
When was the last time that they actually like released some stuff for it?
I thought they release it like monthly, don't they?
They do release. Yeah, there's new content for the Sims all the time. Like right now, I mean, like an expansion or something, you know? Yeah, no, seriously. There's expansions. They just released the Sims 4 Seasons expansion, like within the last couple weeks.
Oh shit!
And then they're doing really good about keeping up the console versions with PC as well, as far as the releases go.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's big because they didn't do that with Sims 3 on 360.
No, they did not. not even close.
Unfortunately, that means there's a whole lot of Sims expansions that I haven't got to buy yet. But they're there at least for whenever I decide to be not broke.
Hey, they exist.
Yeah. And I'm just happy that they're at least in the store at this point. But I'd love to see more from The Sims, but we probably won't. Not yet.
All right. So what's the next conference then, Joe?
Microsoft. What I think we're going to see is, I don't know, a bunch of safe stuff. I think they're going to show off something new Halo related, something new Gears related. They're going to show off Forza Horizon 4. They're going to show off a bunch of indies. I don't know what their big surprise is going to be this year. A lot of people are hoping, well, I'm hoping Fable 4 from Playground. I mean, I think that's the closest we'll get to a new RPG.
Because everything was closed off on the Fable, whatever Legends or what, not Legends. What the fuck was it called? The other Fable game that was like promptly squashed.
Oh, Fable Legends.
Was it Legends? Okay.
Yeah, the online one.
Yeah. So because like, is it the same team?
No. Like, Playground are the guys who do Forza Horizon.
Oh. Okay. All
right. And the rumor is that they're working on a new Fable game.
That Playground is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the rumor. That is the Doc Havoc, Fable, D's nuts. No Time for Games asking where Forza Horizon 4, where we think it'll take place. The rumor's Japan. Very much think that would be a great place to have Forza Horizon 4.
I would love to play that because it would take me back to, what was it, Midnight, like, or at least like the vibe in Midnight Club 2 or 1 or whatever. Because I played that a lot. And I really liked the customization and stuff. That was like between that one and Need for Speed Underground. Those two were like my racing games, like kind of growing up, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would love to have that kind of vibe again. I'm down for that. I heard some rumors. Don't know how I want to, you know, how much I want to invest myself into them, but there has been a lot of talks about a potential Sunset Overdrive 2.
Yeah, I've seen the rumors for that. That would be amazing if it's true.
I would love that so much. That was literally the reason why I bought my Xbox.
Yeah. As long as Insomniac is developing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the only reason why I can see the timeline making sense, because, like, they're doing the, what was it? They're doing the Spider-Man game, right? And that's, like, pretty much done now, right?
Close.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they had that one kind of, like, on the back burner that they were working on, Sunset Overdrive 2, working on that in the back burner while they were kind of putting out this Spider-Man thing. So I don't know. I would like to see it. Sunset Overdrive is literally like my favorite game on my Xbox.
What about you, Cole? What do you think?
I'm going to pull out all the stops. I've got two big predictions and they're probably both bullshit, but
let's hear
I'm
pull
ready.
Out all the stops and say, mouse and keyboard support.
It's already there.
I think they'll go like all hog on it though.
I fucking hope not.
I hope they don't as far as like shooters go, but I think that there should be some games it would help with.
Well, again, it's already supported. It just comes down to the developers to incorporate it. We already know that there's games out there with mouse and keyboard support. They don't promote it a big,
you know, make a big deal out of promoting it. So
I don't think they need to.
It would be a big deal. Well, I don't either, but that doesn't mean that I don't think they will. Because you hear people hollering, you have to pay attention to the Twitter echo chamber and what they request.
Fuck them. Fuck all of them.
Even if I think they're wrong. What's your other one? I think we might see HoloLens or some sort of VR for Xbox.
Yeah, maybe.
I do.
I could see it. Yeah.
I think it's problematic that PlayStation has a VR system, whether it's popular or not, and then Xbox just doesn't. There's not even an attempt in that field as far as for Xbox. So I think we'll see that kind of support for Xbox, and they'll be like, hey, now we're...
Minecraft demo that they had the one time was fucking amazing. Like,
yeah, that was mixed reality, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I would love to see more AR stuff. I like the.
But there was they were doing the big show and like it made it look like it was like snowing in the room with them and stuff. And then they just went completely radio silent on that shit.
Yeah.
So,
I think they saw how low of an adoption rate the PlayStation VR has. Because the people that have it enjoy it, but it's not like it set the world on fire.
But it's not cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I could... that's a good point, though. Because... I could see them kind of waiting on it and just being like, you know what? We don't really have to invest the money into it. We're doing good on the console sales the way that it is. Like, yeah. I don't think they necessarily have to reach for something else to kind of like tack on to the people that already have systems. I think what they really need to do is just show games.
That's exactly what they need to do. And let's hope that it's something besides Halo, Gears, and Forza.
I just want to see big exclusive games show everybody will shut up about how they don't have exclusive games. I don't even like exclusivity. I think exclusivity is bullshit. I say it all the time. This isn't anything new. And I still just want them to release a couple new exclusives just so people will shut the fuck up.
I think first party exclusives are good. Third party exclusives are bad.
I agree.
Nope,
first party,
all exclusives are bad.
First party, you know, Sony isn't ever going to release their games on other platforms. Nintendo's not going to release their games on other platforms. Microsoft, the only game they release on other platforms is Minecraft, and it's because it's there. First party is what builds platforms.
Right.
So first party exclusives, that's just business. That's how it is. Third party need to stop.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I would love to see a bunch of those third-party RPGs that are exclusive to PS4 show up on Xbox. Let's get the Kingdom Hearts collection on Xbox. Let's get Nier Automata on Xbox. Let's get fucking a new Tales game on Xbox. Let's get more RPGs. I hope that's what we see out of Xbox's conference, RPGs, because we need them.
I mean...
I just want Hollow Knight.
Rumors say that there's a new Diablo coming. No.
De Burbler.
It wouldn't be an episode with me on it unless I mentioned Diablo, but...
True. Okay. Well, let's move on. Bethesda is next. I think we're going to see Doom 2.
I would love to see Doom 2. Oh, my God.
I think whatever they show off is going to be like last year, and they're only going to show off things coming out this year.
So, Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think we're going to see New Vegas remastered, which I would be cool with.
I would be okay with that as well, I think. God, what else do they have? Maybe some, well, think DLC maybe for some, what do they have out that could warrant DLC?
Nothing really.
Yeah.
See, this is why it's hard to go through every conference. Bethesda, it's going to be, you know, Bethesda games.
All right. Maybe like, do you think there's going to be a bomb that they drop?
I think Doom 2 would be the bomb.
What bomb do you think?
Doom 2.
Doom 2? Okay. All right. I don't think I could strongly go with Doom 2, but if it happens, I'm obviously going to be happy. So,
what's your bombshell for them?
Oh, this might be bold, but a Morrowind? When was the last time? I mean, Skyrim's how fucking old now?
You mean an Elder Scrolls game?
Elder Scrolls, yeah. An Elder Scrolls game.
That would be nice to see a new one.
You know what I mean? Like, because when you really think about it, like out of all their IPs, like they've kind of revisited everything within a timely manner now.
Yeah.
The oldest thing that they have now would be that, right?
Yeah, a new Elder Scrolls game. And it would be better than another Skyrim port.
Uh-huh. Everybody keeps saying Skyrim on this, Skyrim on that, Skyrim blah, blah, blah. I think it's time for another one.
That'd be cool. I'd be happy with that.
I'll make a bold claim, even though I don't think that it would be right, but fuck it.
What about you, Cole? What kind of bombshell are you expecting?
Skyrim 2.
Skyrim 2. So a new Elder Scrolls game.
Skyrim 2 Electric Boogaloo. They already have it. Like, they send you a Skyrim disc with it already pre-modded so that the Macho Man Randy Savage dragon is in the beginning. And like,
ooh, let me tell you something here. We're going to go down and we're going to set those people on fire.
The cream of the crop.
And to set the villagers on fire with the dragon breath. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're going to release.
Devolver Digital, I think we're just going to see a bunch of crazy shit there. That's...
Listen.
Yeah.
Last year's Devolver...
was incredible.
It stole E3 for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fucking incredible. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
And so many people hated it.
I played any of the games. Like, I don't even remember what games they even talked about, but it was fucking incredible.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Square Enix. I think we're going to see a lot of Switch support. I think that's what I'm expecting the most out of Square Enix. I would love to say we're going to see Nier Automata hit Xbox, but my hopes are low with Square and Xbox. Unless it's a new Tomb Raider game or, you know, some kind of action game, I don't think they're going to really release much on Xbox.
Life is Strange 2. I think we'll see the official Life is Strange 2.
The good one. Chris?
I am not... Yeah, I know you're going to make fun of me for this. I'm not familiar with a lot of their other IPs other than Final Fantasy.
Tomb Raider. We're going to see Tomb Raider.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see some Tomb Raider, but that's also because we know it's coming out. Like, yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3, they're going to show off. Probably a release date for Kingdom Hearts 3 this fall.
You know what I'd like to see them do? Release the older Kingdom Hearts on other things just so that I could play them.
Yeah, I said before, I would love to see the Kingdom Hearts collection show up on Xbox, especially because Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be on Xbox.
So hopefully we'll see. Maybe. Fingers crossed.
We'll see. What about That'll Ubisoft?
Okay.
Division 2.
Division 2?
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm fucking really pumped for, you know that.
Yes. Assassin's Creed, I think they're going back to yearly for Assassin's Creed for the next two, and then they're going to take another year off and have a new trilogy after that.
Yeah.
Okay, and this one is looks to be like Greek-ish.
That's the rumor.
And I will be all over that. Like, all over that. I should have played the last one, and I didn't. I kind of, like, skipped over it. But if they
if
end
you
up
wait
doing,
another year, it'll be Games with Gold.
Yeah, probably. So that's I'll just wait. But if it's gonna be like there's been some rumors that they might even be incorporating like some Greek mythology into it.
That'd be interesting.
So yeah, especially because it's supposed to be based in like actual history.
Carnage is hoping for Trials, and Ian says Ubisoft, they'll take a shit on a plate and put it out on stage for 3 hours.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. I have some high hopes for Ubisoft this year, actually. Between Division and they already said that they're going to have some big announcements for For Honor. Believe it or not, I actually still play that game, like, pretty regularly.
Ooh, No Time thinks Steep, too. That's a possible one.
Could be, yeah.
I think a new Trials would be really cool, but I'm just really pumped for Division and the For Honor announcement. They already said that, like, they're going to have a big announcement at E3 for it.
There are 6 studios working on The Division 2.
That's way too many studios to work on a single game.
I don't care. I'm probably going to love it. I still really enjoy the first one. I just can't get people to play it with me.
I will play with you. All you got to do is tell me when.
I'm on PC, though.
God damn it. No, that's why.
Hey, I've been saying I'd play with you for how long, Cole? And it's yet to happen.
The rule is send me an invite. I have anxiety, and I don't invite people.
Yeah, you have to initialize it.
Yep. All right. And then I'm just like, yeah, I'm down.
All right, what about PC gaming show? Do we even care about that? Because that's sucked the past how many years?
Hey, I'll breeze over. Even I'm a PC gamer, and I breeze over it.
Yeah, I think they're going to show a bunch of dumb shit.
Yeah, sometimes they end up actually announcing some like cool shit. Most of the time they don't. Yeah. I'll keep an eye on it. I don't have any high expectations.
All right, next up is Sony. I don't know what to expect out of Sony. I think they're going to just show off a bunch of stuff that we already know exists.
Yeah, you
know, maybe a surprise here or there. I don't know. I would like to see Carnage is hoping for a new Little Big Planet. That's very possible, although I think Dreams, that game Dreams, is pretty much going to be Little Big Planet from now on.
Right.
I would like to see PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale 2.
Ooh. I don't think it would happen, though. I'd like to see it, but I don't
think so either, but I would like to see it happen. I think something, I would love to see the return of Legend of Dragoon.
I never played them. Barry.
Any guesses for you two on Sony?
How about some Shenmue?
That would be Sega. Or no, not Sega.
Yeah, but that was where they announced it, remember?
Yeah.
Some
I just expect more Death Stranding trailers that nobody's going to understand. And same. Everybody's going to lose their shit and pick it apart. And then same. The game's going to come out and it's going to be like a battle royale and have nothing to do with any of the trailers.
You know what? I have a theory about Death Stranding. My theory is it's just Kojima like putting out like pseudo artsy trailers and there's no actual game behind it. And he's just fucking with everything.
Yeah.
And he's just going to keep putting out trailers and just keep building hype until eventually people just don't care anymore. And then he'll just stop talking about it.
I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't.
Like, that's literally, like, no bullshit. For the past year now, I've just been like, I think he's fucking with everybody. Yeah. Like, I really do. I think it's just an excuse for him. We may find out
he's
like,
the greatest troll ever.
Dude, I think it would go down in history. I think it would just be, like, the fucking most brilliant thing that dude ever did. Like,
all right,
he'll be praised as a fucking god. Like,
one final press conference, Nintendo.
Smash, duh.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the big thing we're gonna see is we're gonna see Banjo Kazooie in Smash.
I think there'll be some other crossover event because Rabbids was so well.
I think we're going to see Phil Spencer show up on the Nintendo Direct.
That would be insane. Mm. That would be so insane.
There's been a lot of rumors about some kind of partnership between Microsoft and Nintendo, and I think if they're going to show off anything, it'll be during Nintendo's conference or during their event, not conference.
Right, right.
Wishful
thinking.
I mean,
didn't they say that like Simon Belmont's going to be in it? I mean, I'm pumped for that if that happens.
I didn't hear anything about that, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, who the hell did they talk about? It was like Simon Belmont and like I think one was like a Metroid boss. God, I didn't play Metroid. I don't know. I'd seen some rumors through the grapevine that one of them like they had already kind of like predicted some of the characters that might potentially be announced. The other thing that I had heard specifically about Smash is that it's the full previous rosters, like all of them.
And that'd be interesting roster? If they got Snake back,
right? But that's a lot of the things that I'm hearing amongst murmurs. I don't know how true that would be, but hey, maybe.
Cool. Anything from you with Nintendo?
Just some kind of major crossover. I'm when you said Phil Spencer, my first thought was like Mario versus Rabbids, but as opposed to the Rabbids, it's going to be like Master Chief or some shit's going to pop up.
I was going to say,
maybe more likely Minecraft characters because they're more family friendly. But
yeah, Minecraft Steve shows up in Smash Brothers instead of Banjo Kazooie. That would piss everyone off. Oh my God.
I would use them.
Throws diamond blocks at people.
I would use it. Like,
all right. Any conference?
That'd be fucking sweet.
Any conference? What is your dream announcement?
Skate 4. Well, yeah, I guess it's Skate 4 because I know realistically anything like, you know, I want to see the new Diablo announced at BlizzCon this year, but obviously that's not gonna happen at E3. That happens at BlizzCon.
You want to know what's cooler than Diablo?
What?
No Time for Games donating 500 biddies to us. That's pretty fucking awesome.
That is pretty good.
I guess Carnage with 5 is okay.
Damn. Savage. Savage. I mean, yeah, Skate 4, dude. Like, I'm going to lose my shit if that happens.
So you want Diablo and Skate 4. Cole,
well,
what
Diablo's
is your
not
dream
gonna happen,
announcement?
Obviously, so.
I already got my dream because I wanted the Division 2. And then now we know it's a thing, and so now I'm just sitting here waiting for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you have any specific expectations for it going into it that you want to see different from the first one?
I really don't. I don't like. I'm just so.
You just want more.
I just want more. Yeah, I enjoyed it so much, and even with like all the updates and stuff that have happened to it, I still haven't gone back because I already had all the achievements and they didn't add any new ones. And so I was just like,
so your dream E3 announcement is that they add new achievements to the first one. Well, see now,
I would be mad.
Didn't they say that there was going to be some things that like there's going to be incentives for certain things like accomplishing them in the first one?
If I find out that, you know, like there's benefits to going back and doing certain things that I might not have done yet, which is very small number of things that I have not managed to do in the first one. Mm-hmm. But like, then I would probably go back and knock out those couple of things just so I'd be prepared for two. But really, I mean, I already got my E3 wish this year.
Okay, so you got your wish already.
What's your wish?
My wish, Nintendo cross Microsoft, Smash Brothers, cross play Xbox and Switch.
Oh my! Listen, you're in La La Land.
Hey, we're you. I said dream scenario. That I think right, no, that would no, no, be no. incredible. All right,
you're in a coma. Like,
hey, we said dream. So I think that would be the bombshell of bombshells to have Smash Brothers show up on Xbox and be cross play with the Switch.
That no way. And no I, way.
If
no.
It, if it were to happen with any console, I could see it happening with Xbox.
Oh, yeah, of course, because fucking, you know, we all know that Sony loves to play with other consoles.
I wouldn't be shocked at this point to see something like Rare Replay on Switch, to see Sea of Thieves Switch.
That I could see. That I could totally see.
I could see Sea of Thieves on the Switch crossplay.
No way. No way.
I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't.
On the Switch?
Not with how buddy-buddy Nintendo and Microsoft have been lately. I could see it happening. I don't think it will, but I could see it happening.
I don't know. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think them incorporating Microsoft's characters into Smash, sure, absolutely. Having it on Xbox as well, like, dude, people would freak the fuck out.
Oh,
like,
I know. That's why I said it's a dream scenario.
No, but I think in a bad way. I think people would be pissed.
I don't.
Really?
No, I really don't. I think that would show unity between two companies. And granted, a sector of the gaming audience is going to be like, this is terrible. Fuck Xbox. But I think it would be a net positive for gaming in general to see two companies come together and have a big flagship title like that cross-platform. And to say thanks for it, how about Forza Horizon on the Switch cross-play?
You're in a coma.
Master Chief Collection on the Switch.
Now you're drunk.
Any two companies are going to cross over with each other, it'll be those two.
Sure, but I mean, if they are going to cross over, I do agree that Microsoft and Nintendo are definitely more likely to collaborate on stuff. However, don't you think they would like dip their feet in before they just cannonball into a bunch of crossplay nonsense? Like
Minecraft is dipping their toes in the water. Crossplay on Minecraft, crossplay on Rocket League. There's already crossplay. They're already dipping their toes in the water.
I mean,
I don't know. We do have a giveaway we got to take care of, though. We went on a little bit longer than I thought we were going to go.
I mean, you said you wanted to waste some time.
I know. There's still reviews we got to do, and I know you're not sticking around for those.
Nah, I'm sorry.
But we do have a giveaway to take care of. We have 3 copies of the game Outbreak: The Nightmare Chronicles to give away, and we asked y'alls on Twitter to send us an email and tell us why you want it. And let's go. Y'all. Yes, I did say y'alls. What are you going to do about it?
Cole, you're rubbing off on him.
I've always said y'alls. Snapper.
That one's my favorite. That one's definitely my favorite.
Oh, I was trying to figure it out because I don't think you pronounce it the same way I do, even when you make fun of me. So it takes me a second to realize that you're saying oil.
Oil. Snapper.
Yeah.
Anyway, first email from John Powers, who says, "Hello, I would like to win a copy of Outbreak: The Nightmare Chronicles because it seems like the dev has improved since his last game. I'm also curious about how his approach on it being episodic and seeing what kind of start the series has. The game looks interesting overall, and the achievements are easy too, apparently, so that's a nice plus." So, curious to see how it's improved and improved. Episodic.
How many injuries do we have?
Six.
Oh.
So sure. Just half and half?
Yep. Next email is from Martin Dippendahl, who says, hey, did somebody mention a free game? Me is a newly made achievement whore, and since I'm done with my classes and are graduating, why not trying out a nice game? It's not like I have anything better to do. By the way, I'm hyped for E3 weekend. Hope you guys are too. Much love, Tynus4NL. So,
wait, new achievement whore. What was his name again?
Martin.
No. What was the last name?
Dippendahl.
Dippendahl?
Yep.
Martin Dippendahl, owner of the Dimmesdale Dippendahl? <It's>... Dippendahl, over the Dimmesdale Dippendahl?
Anyway, so his was a new achievement whore and nothing else better to do.
I mean, I think we've been accommodating a lot of the achievement whores with
is always
games.
Good.
Yeah.
Next one from Billy P, who says, because Carnage said it's easy gamer score.
I mean, it's honest.
Short and sweet.
Yep.
Next one from Michael Barodi, who says, I'm not sure why I want to win. I just like winning, your buddy Swizzlers. P.S. I retweeted and posted in my Discord for people to enter. Hope you get more entries. Likes winning.
I mean, who doesn't like winning?
Very true. Next one from Latino Heat, who says, good evening to the SML podcast. I, being a huge fan of zombie genre, playing games like Resident Evil and Dead Island, I've grown to get more and more into these types of games. This particular game, Outbreak, The Nightmare Chronicles, has a retro style to it. Seen a few YouTube videos of the game. I must say I give the developer Drop Dead Studios props for bringing back the old style feel of zombie games. If given the opportunity, I'll help shoot zombies to their death. So, wants to murder zombies.
Appreciates horror games.
And then the final one from Oroto Tomato, who says, dang it, cutting it close on this one. And considering I got the email 12 minutes ago, if we didn't go long with the E3 talk, wouldn't have entered anyway.
see, there was a reason.
So let's see. Cutting it close on this one, and the reason is why is toilet related. I hate having to bring up poop yet again, but it just keeps happening. I had a good 1 hour left before the deadline when I saw the tweet, but then Mother Nature called like a hurricane, so I tried to hold it in.
But then
Mother Nature called like a hurricane, so I tried to hold it in until I could finish the email, but I wasn't able to form coherent thoughts because of the pain. So I rushed to the bathroom, sit down, do my thing, which took longer than expected, even with the fact that this is my first poop in 3 days. And then the toilet flush failed me.
Hold on, back up. Hold on. First poop in 3 days?
3 days.
Yo, you need some fucking Raisin Bran in your life or something. Like, Jesus.
Oh, Chris.
More fibers.
Chris, it gets better. And then the toilet flush failed me. It kept coming back like the T-1000 from Terminator 2. So I look at the timer and I rush back to my computer, leaving the poop behind. And I sit here writing this while my poop is still swimming around in my toilet. And oh God, why did you do this to me, SML man? Anyway, the game looks pretty cool. What better way to celebrate the imminent reveal of Resident Evil 2 Remake than playing a game so heavily inspired by it? Wish more devs got inspired to do their own take on classic PS1 games. I want to see this one through. P.S. I'm so hyped for E3, you have no idea. Biggest hype boner from the last 5 years.
Jeez.
So, holy shit.
I mean, literally.
Oroto forgets that there's a female co-host.
Listen, I appreciate the tale and the journey that he took us on.
Yeah, you know what I mean? he wants the game Mr. SML Man. What about me?
So to recap, John Powers is curious to see how it's improved and how it's episodic. Martin is a new achievement whore. Billy P says Carnage says it's easy gamer score. Michael likes winning. Latino Heat wants to murder zombies. And Oroto is stuck with his own poop.
I mean...
Oroto. Three of us, three winners. is Oroto your winner, Chris?
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Oroto needs to consider himself lucky, because if he doesn't start remembering that I'm here too and put Plethora in one of his fucking entries, he's going to stop winning.
Well, you got lucky today.
I'm kind of down with Martin being a new achievement whore. I kind of want to feed that.
I like
that.
Showing the achievement whore's love. I'm not going to lie.
Cole, who's your winner?
You guys have already pandered to the achievement whores. I'm going to let Latino have it because he actually realized that the game was based on the old school Resident Evil game. So.
All right. So Martin, Latino, He, and Orodo, you are our three winners for Outbreak.
Congratulations.
Oh, go flush your toilet.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I guess that is it for this part of the show. Chris, it was good having you on.
Yeah, I'm glad I made it. I didn't think I was going to.
I'm glad you made it, too. We're going to take a quick break, be back with the standard reviews of the show. Chris, do you have any final words to end this part of the show?
If Skate 4 happens, then...
You're coming back full-time?
Yeah, you know what? All right, I'll give it to you. If Skate... You have my word. If Skate 4 gets announced this weekend, then I will come on at least once a week again.
Deal. Everyone here heard that.
Did I just witness my own, like, removal as co-host?
Oh, no. This used to be a three-person show. It'll go back
to it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. It was originally me. No. Listen, I really don't think it'll get announced. But if it does get announced, I'm going to be so elated that I will just be like, I'm going to say yes to everybody and everything.
Plus, let's not forget that Chris won't hang out during the review, so I would need you here anyway, Cole.
Oh, okay.
You have a purpose that Chris will not fulfill.
I will see. I the whole problem was is I was never the whole package.
Well, you were for a while. You just got tired of it.
I was never the whole package. Giggity.
And we are back. Thanks for sticking around. It is review time, and we're doing something a little different. We are starting off this episode with the guest review, or not starting off the episode, but starting off the reviews of the episode with the guest reviews. I'm sick. Give me a break. Pernell Vaughn, you're here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I feel like I'm dying. I really do.
Tis the season. Again, it's not winter. It's the other half, the one where dehydration kicks in.
Indeed, but work is there to be done, so we got shit to do. I can't wait until I listen back to this and the part that I recorded yesterday that's going to be on after this and before the rest of the show that I didn't record yet.
This is going to be a lot of delirium.
It's going to be weird. It's whatever. I'm going to be like, I'm dying to, hey, I feel great to, I'm dying again.
I resurrection.
Pretty much. I feel good for like a 15-minute segment in the middle of the show.
Bonk. It's all over.
Anyway, you're here because you're taking care of the first game to talk about tonight, called Dark Souls Remastered, developed by From Software, published by Bandai Namco, released May 25th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. It is coming to the Switch as well. Then there was Fire, re-experience the critically acclaimed genre-defining game that started all, beautifully remastered, returned to Lordran, I'm always terrible with that name, in stunning high-definition detail, running at 60 frames per second. Purnell, how is Dark Souls Remastered?
Dark Souls Remastered? Well, first and foremost, I'll describe the game in a little bit, but essentially it's Dark Souls, but it's fluid and smooth.
But
so,
it's remastered.
Yeah, and it's funny because usually when it comes to remastered games that are this close to their previous gen, I'm not too buzzed about them because I figure, what are you really going to fix? The PS3 was just, or Xbox 360 and PS3 were not that long ago. Yeah. So I was like, what's there to do? But this is a game where I think a huge exception can be made because Dark Souls, the original Dark Souls, was very taxing on the consoles that it played on. And there were definite sections that chugged like molasses, like
what,
horribly.
Like Blight Town?
you know the spot. Especially
everyone Blight knows Blight Town.
I skipped that place, luckily with a master key, and I was content for that. But in this game, I don't feel compelled to have to do that because everything runs buttery smooth. Essentially, the gameplay is that you are a knight or a cleric or whatever opening game class you choose, though it only really affects starting items and stats. And you are essentially proceeding to relight the flame of Lordran. I couldn't tell you a damn thing about the plot because I never understood it in the first game. And I don't understand it now. I stopped trying very early on. But it doesn't make the game bad because I feel like this game is just a weird adventure where as you progress and explore new lands, you meet characters that may or may not be assholes. And you find spells that may or may not be great. And you kill things that may and may be evil because everything's evil. Even the things that don't act evil, they just wait for you to turn your back and stab you.
And then they are evil.
And then they are evil. They got those dark souls in them. Can't purge them. So when you play through the game, you get access to basically a left-handed weapon and a right-handed weapon. And each of those arms has two slots. So you can use like a sword and a shield or an axe and a talisman for casting spells or a wand. A variety of different things, bows and arrows. There are a great number of weapons in this game that you can select from and equip on both hands, and their stats are generally governed by any of your, like, the power of them anyway is governed by a variety of sets, strength, dexterity, faith, intelligence, and other such things that you slowly get used to. Initially, as you come into the game, it's going to be very hard to determine how you're doing well or if you're doing well, and that's kind of part of the charm of the games, too. You adventure, you kill things, and you don't know if you're doing it right. But you're having fun learning the ropes and experiencing the game in a very almost D&D wandery sort of way. It's very Western. It had a very Western feel to it. I'm trying to think as far as like something to talk about for people who may not be familiar with the game. It's difficult. If you have not heard about this since Dark Souls 1 came out leading up to the present, I don't know how you got this far.
If you don't know what Dark Souls is, you probably shouldn't be listening to a video game podcast.
This is true. Like people that don't even play the game will describe a game like, it's Dark Souls hard. So, and Dark Souls is still very challenging. You will likely pull your hair out if you've never played one of these games before, and that's okay, especially if you come in bald, because then you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, boy.
But the game is charming. If you're willing to come into it with an intent to pretty much challenge yourself and experience a world that does not hand you all the information on a silver plate, you will have a great time with this game. Dark Souls as a series is one of my all-time favorite series out there at the present time. It is glorious in and of itself. From the world construction, even though there are definitely some elements where I have no clue how one area connects to another. But even still, by the way the world looks and how everything's connected, it's just a glorious experience to traverse new environments and see what they have to hide, what new secrets can be held in store for you as you traverse the lanes.
Yeah. Now, you played the original Dark Souls. You told me you played it forward and backward, right?
Yes, I did.
How well does it hold up with the remaster? Is everything improved visually? I know you said it's everything is buttery smooth, so the frame rate's taken care of. Visually, were there a lot of enhancements?
I felt like visually it does look nicer, though I'm not one of those guys that is good at being like, anti-aliasing is jacked up. And I'm not the best at describing the changeups, but I can say that the game does look nicer. Like, it looks more polished, I'll say. Like, it's not going to blow your socks. Like, oh my God, it's like Dark Souls. It's Dark Souls like I've never seen it before. No, it's still the same game. You're still the same soldier, but you have a bit of a shiny, waxy coat as you walk around. Like, it, if you're a visuals junkie, it looks fantastic as far as, like, when people usually say you want the best experience from your game so you can experience it as it was, quote unquote, meant to be experienced. Well, I would say now that this version exists, this is probably how Dark Souls is meant to be experienced, like visually and performance-wise. It is a standout title. It is still my favorite of the trio. Demon's Souls, I don't count into it, so it's almost like its own game is a personally feeling to me. But as far as Dark Souls go, this is still my favorite of the three.
Nice. And so it looks better. It plays better. Is it worth the $40 upgrade for people who've already played it?
I think so, because chances are, if you've played it, you probably played it back when it first came out. Well, it was like 2010 or something.
Probably. I don't know. It's old, and it makes me feel old just thinking about it.
I know the feeling. I feel like Grandpa Jenkins. But it definitely holds up as a game. You probably haven't played it in eons. And if you did, you definitely remember the stuttering. It'd be nice to kind of play the game when you can't actually blame the slowdown on how bad you are at it. So I think it's worth the money wholeheartedly, especially once I realized it was 40 and not 60.
Yeah, it's nice to see it come out at a more budget price than some of the other games that come out.
Yeah, and imagine if you actually have one of those Grandfather Gamers Club Unlocked subscriptions. You could even use that, too.
Get it for an extra $8 off.
Yep.
Fucking Best Buy.
I'm going to miss that damn program.
Tons of bitches.
Yes, literally. It makes me feel it's Kmart all over again. I don't know how I feel. I feel horrible.
Sad.
I don't know how I feel. It's very sad. And I do wonder where my bargains are going to come from next, because I'm a cheap, frugal gamer. I've had access to deals for so long, I'm not going to know what to do without them.
Yeah, I know. At least I still have like another year and 10 months left.
See, you guys were smart, bought it well in advance. I was like, I'll just upgrade it once my other one's starting to come to an end. So,
oh, no, I wasn't smart. December. I was just lucky in that I renewed it the month before it got canceled.
Oh, damn. Well, there you go.
So it was pure luck on my part.
That's what I get for signing up initially on a Christmas holiday season.
Yeah, that'll learn you.
Yeah, sure. Talk my knickers.
Well, how about for people who've never played Dark Souls before? Do you think this is the definitive way to get into the series?
Oh, yes. Hell, wholeheartedly, because I feel like the experience is the best in this game. But in addition to that, I feel like you'll appreciate the improvements in certain aspects of the gameplay construction by playing the initial one first. Because while I feel like some of the world construction got more chaotic and just weird in the future games, I do feel as though it still ultimately looks, they have some crazy creative worlds in those later games too. You want to kind of start low here, get the great experience, learn how they built it up. It's almost like, let me think of a good example. It's almost like when a game does well or a movie does well and the company realizes, hey, this thing was worth money. We should double down on this and make another one. What about the vision? Well, for the hell with the vision, just redo the game, but make purple green and yellow lavender. I don't know. Just make the game again and make it profitable. That's how I feel about some of those later games. It's like they're all fun, but they all feel like they're just built off of Dark Souls 1 to kind of just make it bigger or slightly different, but still the same with some gameplay tweaks. So I'd say start with the first, work your way up, and then hopefully you'll come away with the same impression I have, which is Dark Souls 1 is the best overall game atmosphere-wise and all. But Dark Souls 3 does a great job with, you know, working with magic spells, like in inventory management and stuff like that. Like, it made a lot of improvements for gameplay.
Gotcha. I really need to get more into the series. It's one series that I've dabbled in, but I've never really been fully sucked in just because I'm awful and I die a lot.
Well, that's all the more reason to get this one then, because now that it's new, that means that the spirit summoning should be fresh and alive again. So if you're not good at the game, the trick to learn it is to just let yourself get summoned into everybody else's game and get your school Hard Knocks experience on in their world. When you die, you don't lose anything. Yeah. And then when you think you finally nailed it down, you summon two people into your game and go beat the boss.
Good stuff. Well, you sold me on the game. That's for damn sure.
That's what I do. I work.
With my Best Buy discount.
Your year and a half left discount.
Oh, man. Well, Purnell, it is always good having you on here. I know you're going to be taking a little break from the show for a week to go to E3. You're going to have to come back and give us the scoop on what goes down over there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Though, hopefully I don't come back. Like, what'd you think? I was asleep half the time because I'm old now.
Well, hopefully you don't get sick like it seems everybody else on the show has been getting sick.
Oh, God, let's hope not. I'll be chugging Pepto-Bismol on lines and shit. My luck.
Get you sick via microphone.
Germs don't travel over wires.
Be surprised.
Radio waves. They'll find a way.
Oh, man. Well, do you have any final words, Purnell?
Keep cool because it's getting hot.
All right, next game to talk about is called Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, developed and published by Arc System Works, released June 5th on the Switch, PS4, and PC for $49.99. The collision is inevitable. The impact will be unavoidable. Crossover between four different universes. Plays
that's
characters.
That's a good copy right there.
That's the description. Plays characters from the Blaze Blue Persona, Under Night in Birth, and for the first time ever in a fighting game, the Ruby series. As you can hear by the voice, Tim Ekibis is checking this one out. Tim, how are you doing?
Good. Hang on. I got a bunch of fucking... What is this? Oh.
What are you breaking?
No, it's just like my wire for my wired Xbox 360 controller that I use my PC was getting under the wheels of my chair and pissing me off.
Fucking wires.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
How's Blaze Blue?
Oh, man, Blaze Blue. Me and this game go way back. Well, the series, I guess. Man, fucking Blaze Blue. Well, it's like I got the first game when it came out, like... God, like 10 years ago? Is this series that old? God. Something like that? Hurt. Yeah, but like I very swiftly stopped playing any more Blaze Blue because they were just iterating on it so fast and just like my head started spinning and I couldn't keep track of what was what. So it's been a while, but you know, and I might not have been as interested in this game except they sprinkled that magic little Persona dust on it. And I was like, oh? So yeah, we got Blaze Blue : Cross Tag Battle. So make no mistake, this is, I guess, primarily a Blaze Blue game. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't like we'll get into it, but you know, it's mostly Blaze Blue characters. Like in the default roster, it is solidly half Blaze Blue characters, and then the other half is the other three factions. But first things first, I guess, is this game and its DLC thing. Much ado about this game because a full half of the full roster, you know, there's 20 characters included with the base game. There's 20 characters that are DLC for this game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there was definitely a lot of fuss when this was first announced that like 20 characters were DLC and they'd be in like six different packs. And I think they've made some changes along the way as to what their strategy was going to be. Ultimately, though, like the full character pass is only $20 and the game itself is only $50. So that's not
horrible.
No, it's not that bad at all. Like it was definitely like off-putting when I first like read about it. But, you know, total $70 for a 40 character fighting game is not bad in this day and age at all, especially when you have things like Dragon Ball Z, also by Arc Systems, which launched for $60 and had a $40 character pass that only included 8 characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, standard in fighting games is kind of like $5 or more, $5-6 per downloadable character. I mean, that makes sense because they're a big part of the game. In this case, you know, most, like, you know, they're not really... They're just kind of dumping characters from all their other games without the obvious exception of the Ruby characters, as mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're just dumping those characters into, you know, from their games into this game. But, you know, there's still work to be done. I don't think it's an outrageous price to ask for, especially when the game itself is slightly discounted, especially when if you buy it, like when the first couple weeks, there's like free characters out there.
Nice.
Like already. Yeah, they're like one of the packs is free. Some of the Ruby characters are free. or something like that. Either way, I got four free characters. You know, there's four free characters right now that are up there for free. One of the packs and some other random character. So, yeah, that's that out of the way. Anyways, the game itself, the gameplay is pretty good. It's a tag game, as it states in the title. That is not false advertising. You are rocking two character teams. It's not like a three character setup like, you know, some other tag games. Two character teams, which is fine. The buttons are, it's pretty pared down. There's only two main attack buttons, just like a light and a heavy attack. You have a dedicated tag button, you have a dedicated assist button, and you have another kind of like a bit of a multi-purpose button, which acts as like an extra heavy attack. Like it activates like super versions of your special moves. It does a cross attack, a clash attack is what it's called. So when you hit with it, it acts as like an overhead, and then your partner comes in and you like double team them real quick. Yeah, but even with kind of the pared down control scheme, like there's still plenty you can do, and it just really makes the game easier to digest. Like BlazBlue itself is a fucking, that game is pretty complicated, really, with the different attack buttons and just the fact that in BlazBlue, like to its credit, every character is super different, but to its detriment, every character is super different, and it's hard to like, you really got to learn characters. Like it's tough to jump between them. And this one, it's a lot easier to kind of like jump from character to character. And then they all have kind of like a same basic feel, but then they have different special moves. Not unlike what they did with Dragon Ball FighterZ, which was also quite good. And that, yeah, it's like, okay, it's pared down. I understand like this is going to do this kind of with every character. Then it's a matter of like learning their moves and hitboxes and their, the only, I think every character only has like a couple special moves, and it's just like a quarter circle forward, quarter circle back. You know, super moves are just a quarter circle forward, quarter circle back with a couple of the buttons there, which is also very nice because in BlazBlue, you know, characters have all kinds of different inputs for their super moves, and it's just, you know, not something you keep track of. In this, it's like, you know, every character, if you do this, something's coming out. Makes it so really easy.
It's not like BlazBlue where they had to pack it with a fucking DVD that teaches you all the moves.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a lot easier to digest. But then, you know, still layered on top of that is, you know, a ton of arc system stuff like reversals, tag reversals, and like, you know, different ways you can do a reversal by calling in your partner to do a reversal. There's Resonance Blaze, which acts as like the, if you're familiar with the X Factor thing from Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Where when you're down to one character, and then if you hit the tag button, you get like 15 seconds of like more damage. You have Astral Heat, which is the one hit kill thing. That's in here. There's like a lot of like little kind of tech moves in there. And there's a decent tutorial that like explains all this stuff that you can go through. It's a little clunky to get through just because like you'll do the move and then you'll have to click R3 to go on to the next thing, and then it loads in the next one. It's just like, just, it could be a little smoother, but they do have the stuff in there to teach you what all this stuff is. Importantly, something I want to point out. So in any tag game, you have like your assist, right? You call in your partner to do a move, right? Mm-hmm. So in this, each character has three variations on their assist, depending on whether you're just pushing the button at neutral towards your opponent or away from your opponent. So having like three different assist moves at your disposal at any given time is actually pretty huge and something that I really, really like. Like it can't be understated like how much, you know, flexibility that gives you and more options it gives you in a tag game to have more than just like one tag move, and especially when you only have like a two character team as opposed to a three character team, to have those extra options available is really cool. And I hope the other tag games like just rip that right off, because it's it's good. It's like a really good part of this game. Munch. I'm eating crackers. I'm not feeling well, folks. Yeah, I'm trying to stay nutritioned and hydrated and stuff like that.
Nutritioned.
Yeah, you heard me. The modes, the single player modes are a little bit on the light side. I mean, I only say that because there's no like standard arcade mode, which I look for in any fighting game.
Yeah,
there's your challenges, your challenge room, which, you know, there is a lot of those. there is a survival mode, an endless survival mode, which I did spend, like, that was pretty much my main go-to single player affair, just because you can grab a team, go in there and just like beat people up until they kick your ass, or you know, you start getting good and getting far in there. There is a story mode, but playing through that, you know, it's the Arc System story mode is a more of a visual novel style than like the more robust like Mortal Kombat Injustice style, which is kind of, or Tekken 7 for that matter, which have a little bit more going on to them. Here it's just kind of like, you know, still frames of your character. And in this case, they're thrust into something called like the Keystone Tag Tournament Challenge or something like that, presumably sponsored by Keystone Light, maybe, I don't know. Where, you know, the characters are all drawn from their different worlds and they have, you know, there's some mysterious anime ass rules to why they're there and whatever. It's just an excuse to kind of like make them run into each other and tag up and fight each other, and life goes on. It just doesn't seem that terribly interesting, but it is there, and like they have storylines for each respective faction.
That's good.
That stuff is there. Crunch. But yeah. Gailed it. Online, of course, there is, I should say, the whole thing has a lobby similar to like the other Arc Systems games like Dragon Ball and Guilty Gear Zerd, where you have like a little chibi dude running around. I did play a little bit of the online today, and it works. It is functional. I got into a match. There was only like one little lag hiccup that I had while I was playing. There was not a ton of people playing on Switch, but the game is pretty new, and, you know, who knows? But, you know, the online worked. You know, I was able to get on there, have some good fights, have some fun, yeah, and all that.
As of when we're recording this, the game's literally a day old, so.
Yeah. Let's see, anything else I'm forgetting here? You know, there's some extras, a gallery, replay theater, stuff like that. But that's pretty much the game, yo.
Overall, it sounds like it's good for newcomers with how similar some of the moves could be, but it's still deep enough for professionals as well.
Yeah, like it seems like it, you know, who knows what kind of fighting games are going to catch on. You know, Dragon Ball does seem to be the business right now, and I don't know if like the professional Blaze Blue community is going to slide over from like regular ass Blaze Blue to this. But if you have not played a Blaze Blue before, or you thought it was too complicated, this is probably like the best way to get into it, because it's just so pared down and it's just really fun to play. Like I was, and I also, I guess for that matter, the in birth, that crew,
the undernight in birth,
undernight in birth. I want to call it in night underbirth. Yeah. Those guys, like there were some good fighters, in that crew. And I am not familiar with that shit at all. So yeah, I mean, you don't have to be familiar with the stuff to enjoy it, per se, like, you know, just like any other fighting game. But yeah, it seems like it's a lot of fun. So yeah, especially if you got people to play around with locally, like it seems like hell fucking yes. And it's just really cool to have, like, this is one of the first, I mean, I know Street Fighter 30th just came out last week, and but, you know, it's one of the first big, like, fighting games on the Switch that I can think of.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, Pokken Tournament, but, yeah, outside of that, like, a more hardcore fighter. I don't have a Pro Controller, so I was playing on the Joy-Cons, and it was okay. I mean, I don't think I have to tell you that's not the optimum way to play a fucking fighting game, but it was functional for and fun enough for going up against the computer. Yeah, man.
Cool. So $50 on this one. What is your official verdict?
Yeah, I think that's totally worth it. That's a total buy right there. It's a really good fighting game. And even with kind of just like the DLCs being released over the course of the rest of this year, and like it's $20 for 20 characters. There's some that are free out there. If you're on the fence, you can, if you pick it up soon, which, you know, and you want to get those free fighters, you know, right off the bat, you can kind of feel out if you want to spend even more, or, you know, wait and things get cheaper. But yeah, I think it's definitely worth checking out this game. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. And it's good to hear you getting a game that you're really happy with.
I know, right? I'm so sour about everything sometimes.
You've had a few that you weren't fans of, so.
hey, man, well, it's like, you know, my time as a father is short and valuable. So, like, if game's pissing me off.
Oh, man. Well, Tim, it is always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Feel better.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm going to go sit and play something that I'm reviewing in a few weeks.
Well, any final words?
Oh, man. Can't escape crossing fate.
And back to us. Yay.
Yay.
Hooray. Weren't those good reviews?
They were fantasticals.
Did you like how I sounded not sick in the one of them?
Yes. That's really some serious effort that you put into sound
it
not
was.
Dead.
It was a whole lot of work. It was tons of oodles of work.
It was almost like you weren't dead.
Almost. But moving on, next game to talk about is called Aragami Shadow Edition, developed and published by Linceworks. Released June 5th on Xbox One for $24.99. Embark on a dark journey full of blood and secrets to discover the truth about Aragami. Infiltrate the occupied city of Kyuryu with your supernatural powers and fight light with shadow. Uncover a story about twin souls bound together by destiny that surpasses time and memory. Cole, what did you think of this one?
I feel like that just gave away a lot more spoilers than I was prepared to.
The description.
Okay, so Aragami is, and I keep wanting to say origami, so 50% chance I will do that during the course of the review, but Aragami is a very stealth-heavy game. The premise is that Aragamis are vengeful shadow spirits. So we begin the game with an Aragami that has been summoned by a... not necessarily a spirit, more of like a projection of a character named Yamiko. That's the best I can get with pronouncing some of this shit. So we just have to roll with it. So Yamiko has been captured by what's called the Kairu, or the Light Army. And she's being held prisoner. So she has summoned this vengeful spirit in the form of the Aragami to help her release herself and her fellow prisoners. The Aragami have quite a few rules, though. They cannot just go around slash murdering everybody that they want. They are powerful spirits, but their powers are limited, and this kind of keeps the game balanced. Some of the rules include the Aragamis, because they're shadow spirits, they're weakened by light. So each level or chapter of the game is laid out so that you have to plan how you move around the world to stay in the light, or stay out of the light rather, and stay in the shadow so that you can build up what's called shadow essence. The shadow essence is then used to you can warp around the world almost like a blink, if you will, or a little bit of a teleport. It has its limitations. You can't go insanely far, but you can go a good little piece. You can create a shadow, if there isn't one, for temporary, you know, movement, so that you can climb to a ledge that would otherwise be out of reach to you. And basically you're just going to use these kind of tactics, setting up traps and using the shadows to your advantage to kill all of the light army that you possibly can. Each level has, it's all planned out. It's not randomly generated or anything. It's perfectly possible to memorize the placement of the enemies, and you can, you know, take your choice of whether you take out the enemies or whether you just blip right past them. It's entirely possible to do it both ways. It's possible to do a blend and just take out some of the enemies to clear an easier path if you want to. How you get through the levels are up to you. While I did say that this is, you know, a stealth-heavy game and you're not really supposed to run up on the enemies and just chop them down for shits and giggles, it's incredibly forgiving for a stealth game. And you can kind of run up on some of the enemies and just be like, surprise, and chop them, and they're kind of dumb. Sometimes it will work out for you. Sometimes you might get fucked, and even though you kill them, they'll have just enough time to get a shot out of the, like, they have swords. They're like They're like samurais. They have swords, but the swords can shoot a light projectile. And if that hits you, well, rip, you're done. You do only get one life. If you get caught, if you get hit with light, it's game over. And you'll start back at your last checkpoint. Again, it's incredibly forgiving. I struggle with stealth games. I like them, but I struggle. And this one, I was just like, blip, 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 I'm done.
Yeah, you were having fun with this one. I've never heard you rave about a stealth game before.
I really did. I had low expectations going in, and that feels like a shame to say during your review, but I did. I was just like, it looks good, but I don't know that, you know, the stealth games are hard because they're not really arthritis friendly type games. And so even though I enjoy them, I tire out easily playing them. But this one, I was just like flipping through it, and I was just having a really good time. The mechanics kept everything down to such a minimal bare bones play style that it was easy to just learn and grasp a hold of and figure out different ways to maneuver through, regardless of whether, you know, it was a graveyard full of enemies or, you know, you were looking for, I can't remember the names of the orbs. There's a certain orb that creates light barriers and you have to destroy them. And whether, you know, you were doing that, looking for the orbs, or actually just trying to take down the enemies, it was just manageable. And the stripped down play style really helped for that, because it's easy with stealth games to get overwhelmed with different types of mechanics that try to ratchet up the gameplay. And Origami didn't try to do that. It was just like, look, make it through the shadows. And if you
keeps
do that,
it simple.
It really does. And I think it was kind of refreshing. And since you mentioned you saw me flipping through it, the game has multiplayer, which was really kind of unexpected, but it does.
Yeah, two-player co-op.
You can ninja your way through this with a buddy. And I didn't seem to think that the levels had any extra enemies than they do when you're playing solo. I didn't notice any differences between solo play and single player, which was good. It was really just go in with a friend and enjoy it. And it was nice to have somebody help me look for the collectibles. Until I was able to, I got that one collectible, and it was what I needed so that I had the ability to just see the collectibles. And after that, I was like, okay, well, they're here. But it was nice to have, you know, somebody help me and be like, oh yeah, that shit's over here. Or if you, sometimes they're fairly well hidden and they're kind of tough to figure out how to get to. And it was like, oh, I didn't realize I had to put a shadow trail there. Yeah. Now I'm good. You know, and it was nice to somebody say, look, go this way, dumbass.
So any negatives for the game, or is it just like near perfection for you?
It's not near perfection, unfortunately. And I do love it, and it's gorgeously illustrated. But it's not flawless. There were a couple instances where I fell through the ground while I was warping around a little too rapid fire. I'm not entirely sure what happened, but I literally just clipped and fell and died. And I was just like, well,
proud of you.
That was a pain in the ass. And I did it in like five or six places. So it was a recurring thing that would occur. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if maybe I was just being oblivious, because it shows up a circle when you can actually teleport to an area. So obviously it was telling me I could go there. I didn't see anything to indicate I couldn't, but then I would just go falling through the floor. But I mean, that was really my biggest complaint about it, that when we played multiplayer, I didn't have any problems with lag. Everything
played really well.
Be really smooth, and just sometimes I fell through the floor.
Well, then overall, $25 on this one. What is your verdict?
This is an easy buy it. It really is. Even at the 20, and the game is lengthy. Like, yeah, you can get the hang of it and flip through it kind of quickly like I was doing. But that's after I'd already struggled and found my way through some of these levels. If there's 12 chapters, and then there's the additional Nightfall chapters. added to it. I think those were actually DLC when this came out on other platforms. And I think Xbox kind of lucked out and we got everything just from the jump. Because there's also additional costumes that were DLC elsewhere. So, yeah, it's an easy buy it, though. I'm really happy with this game.
Good stuff. Next game to talk about is called Lichtspear Double Spear Edition, developed by Lichtund, published by Crunching Koalas, released June 1st on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $9.99. In a land filled with penguin Vikings, worst zombies, and hipster ice giants, survival is an art. Fortunately, an ancient champion with an elegant weapon has been summoned to please the gods and restore balance to the universe. Grab your light spear and traverse land straight out of Germanic myths. Survive with style and expand your powers to fight for the glory and amusement of the almighty gods. This is basically like javelin throwing the video game. it's kind of like a wave-based, I don't want to say defense game, but since you're just trying to prevent them from getting to you. The way the game works is you're on the left-hand side of the screen for the most part. And enemies will start coming at you from the right, and you have your light spear in your hand, which you then aim and chuck at your enemies, and the game is all about getting headshots. Headshots boost your combo meter, headshots take out enemies in one shot, some enemies you can hit on other places on their body and you'll kill them, some of the bigger enemies if like, one of the ice giants, if you just hit him in like the chest or something, he'll just take the hit and stumble back and then keep coming at you. So you really, really got to aim for the head in most of these. And you just take down wave after wave of enemies. You finish off a wave. You move on to the next area. You have another wave come at you. And just rinse and repeat through, I believe, 13 different worlds. Each of the worlds has 4 to 5 different stages among it. And it's you start at one and you go all the way to the end. And you complete that world. And then you move on, rinse and repeat. God, I hate being sick. God, where was I? I just lost my train.
I hate being sick.
Yeah. you take out the enemies. The game does do a good job of mixing it up. Every now and then it'll start you in the middle and you have to fight enemies to your left and right. There's boss fights you're going to have to contend with that are really impressively large boss battles you're going to have to deal with. It's just a really, really solid, fun game. It has a great visual style. The music is incredibly addictive to listen to. It's got a really nice electronic Euro beat to it. There was a stretch where I just left it on the title screen for well over an hour and just had it as background music. It's such an amazing soundtrack in this game. The game is not all perfect. It is tough. Getting used to aiming and not having a good idea of where your shots are going to land most of the time, you're going to have to really get used to aiming and trying to imagine how the trajectory of the javelin or the light spear is going to go. There's going to be times where enemies are coming at you from multiple directions and they're going to be right up in your face and you're going to be going through all your special attacks and your standard attacks and they're still just going to close in on you and take you out. And the good part of that is that you're going to be having fun with it and you'll just restart and try again because it's really, really fun. There are upgrades you could get in the game between the special abilities that you can power up and pay to make even more powerful. The currency is based off of your score at the end of the stage. So the better you do in stages based on your combos and based on headshots and everything else, the more currency you'll get to spend in the store and upgrade your abilities. So obviously the better you do, the better you're going to become, and it'll prepare you for not only the standard difficulty in the game, which is normal, but then a new game plus, normal plus, and then there's a rage quit difficulty and a rage quit plus difficulty if you're really masochistic.
Oh, wow.
And on top of that, each of the levels has 3 different goals that you could try to accomplish, which if you accomplish all of them, you get an Uber rating. And of course, there's an achievement for getting an Uber rating on all of the Rage Quit Plus stages. So if you want to perfect this game, you are going to have to fucking perfect playing this game and just nothing but headshots. Overall, though, $10 on this one. Very, very easy recommendation. It's a lot of fun. The visuals are great. The music is great. And it's just fun. It is fun, fun, fun. And I am going to play it a lot more because it's fun.
Impressive.
And I'm sick.
So I get the feeling that this game is fun. And
yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, if you survive, if you survive the plague, you would like to play it again.
Very, very much so. I swear, I'm just getting sicker as the show is going on. I guess talking this much is just, oh my Lord, I am feeling like dog shit right now. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Fox and Forests, developed by Bonus Level Entertainment, an independent art software published by Eurovision Median, released May 17th on Switch, PS4, PC, May 30th on Xbox One for $19.99. Fox and Forest is a 16-bit style action platformer with RPG elements. Switch seasons on the fly and wield your crossbow to unveil the mystery of the fifth season. Cole, tell us about this one.
Well, there it is. Why? No. So it is basically a platformer with some Metroidvania aspects to it. It is beautifully pixelated. The art and the attention to detail on these levels is just stunning. You play as a fox, imagine that, who is a bit of an anti-hero. His name is Rick. I don't know why his name is Rick. It's such an odd...
Rick the Fox.
Just a random, out-of-thin-air name for this character. There's no effort to fantasize it or anything. It's just, hi, I'm Rick the Fox, and I'm a bit of a giant jerk, and I don't even want to be here. And he doesn't. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be doing shit. But he's gotten roped into trying to save the forest. I'm trying not to give away spoilers. in becoming the hero of our story, he is graced with a magical ability to change the seasons. And this is the game's big, you know, rope in mechanic, if you will. This is what sets it apart. And, there is a mana cost when you switch to different seasons, and you don't have any control over which season you're switching between. You start a level, and the layout of that level determines whether or not which seasons you're going to be flipping between. So if it's fall, you're going to, or summer, you'll be switching to winter, or if it's spring, you'll be switching to fall. The way that switching the seasons affects the game, though, is that it changes the world around so that you can traverse it in different ways. So if you're in the summer setting and you're moving across and you're like, oh shit, there's a giant waterfall, foxes can't swim now, I guess. And so you're going to want to switch the season so that the waterfall freezes over and then you just walk across it like it was never there. That does use your mana, though. Do not do like I do and think that you can freeze the water and start looking around to explore, or you will fall and die and have to go back to the beginning, which brings me to my first complaint of the game. You have to pay for checkpoints.
Oh no.
I hate this system. I hate it in every game that uses it every time I see it. Just let me hit a checkpoint and go.
Yeah, I know. I forget the one game, like a witch on a broom, and it was paid checkpoints. And they're like, well, it's strategy. You have to make sure that, you know, it's not just a safety net. You have to plan ahead and decide, is it worth getting this checkpoint or waiting for the next one? It's like, just let me get to the fucking checkpoint and enjoy the fact that I could take a breather and not stress out so much.
And this one... It's even worse because if you don't hit those checkpoints, if you don't pay for them, if you don't find them, because there are different paths around every world. It's a Metroidvania. So the more that you know, the more power-ups and stuff that you unlock as you move on, and the more you upgrade Rick, the more you can get to when you go back to the other levels. If you don't just straight up find a checkpoint to even hit, or and buy, well, it sucks to be when you die. because you're going to go all the way back. You're going to have lost every collectible you had found. You're going to lose all the gold you had earned.
Oh,
you're back at square one. And it's such a pain in the ass. And I just found myself repeating over and over and over to the point where I was just like, I don't want to do this right now.
Jeez.
And just give me the checkpoints. You know, and it was always such odd things that related, you know, resulted in the death. Which brings me up to the second issue, is that for combat, which this game is very heavy on, there are some odd limitation choices for design, in that Rick has a crossbow and a melee weapon. You can't use the crossbow when you're walking, when you're jumping. If you move at all, that crossbow is gone. You are limited to the melee weapon during any type of movement. Point down, no crossbow. Jump up, no crossbow. So there were a lot of instances where your brain thinks, okay, I'm going to jump over this platform and I'm going to shoot that bug over there while I jump.
Nope.
And then you're going to try to do it, and then you're going to collide, and then you're going to fall down the waterfall because you're a jackass, and then you're going to start at the beginning because you didn't find the fucking badger to buy the checkpoint.
Oh, man.
Why is this a thing? This is one of those cases where it feels like they tried to make an old school NES game, and they've done it to the point that they just forgot about all the quality of life improvements we've managed to make in games since then. And so it's just unnecessarily difficult, and it makes me sad because everything else about this game is so intuitive and ingenious and well thought out and well, you know, just detailed and good. And then I'm just like, why can't you just let me get through the game? I feel like I'm being punished for wanting to play.
On the bright side, it sounds like this is some issues that could be easily patched by making checkpoints free.
That would be fantastic.
And letting you use your crossbow whenever.
They will do it. But it would be fantastic if they did. Because these are huge worlds. Each level is crazy long. Like, I got the bright idea that, you know, there's an achievement for going through an entire level without shooting the crossbow, without killing, no killing, so no melee or anything. And I thought, I'd already done the first level once, legitimately, and I thought, I'm going to go back and do that. That's going to be easy. And then I just forgot how fucking long the level was. And I was just like, and then I managed to do it, and I got to the end, and I still didn't get the achievement anyway, and I don't know why.
Oh, man.
The other downside is that there, like I mentioned, that there are collectibles. One of them, namely, is magic seeds. You can beat an entire section of this game. It'll be like level 1, level 1, 1, level 1, 2. You can beat that entire section, take out that boss, and not unlock the next level.
Because
you have to collect the magic seeds, and you need so many of them. Then you have to take them to an upgrade shop and plant them so that you can access the next section. Like, it feels like they're trying to lock you out of everything that would progress the game. And it's such an odd decision given how much detail and perfection was put in elsewhere. Like, what happened that this got through QA like this? And I feel bad saying, I feel like I'm being unnecessarily mean, and I cannot get across how much that everything else is so good. It's such odd quirks and decisions.
Just weird design choices.
Yeah, and I just kept playing going, why? Because I want to enjoy. I'm having fun until it does something stupid, like collide in the air because I can't shoot, or make me go replay levels 74 times to find those fucking seeds.
Well, as it stands, for $20, what's your verdict on it?
I gave it a try it, and I'm going to say try it because it's not bad. It's just that with the... It's not readily available for everybody. It's more niche because it's really only going to appeal to those kind of people who really enjoy like old school NES 16-bit games and the headaches that came with them. This is like the equivalent of tank controls in zombie games.
Man.
And I'm sad about that.
Oh, well. Hopefully they improve it, though. That'd be good.
That would be good. Please update your game with some quality of life improvement.
Oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Roller Coaster Legends 2 Thor's Hammer, developed and published by War Ducks, released June 5th on PlayStation VR for $5.99. Roller Coaster Legends 2 Thor's Hammer transports you to the mythical land of Loki and Thor. Travel to Asgard before flying through the home of elves in Alfheim, descend into Helheim, home of the dead, and zip through the cold winter of Niflheim while on a high-speed roller coaster chase after the thief of Thor's hammer, Loki. That basically honestly covers it. This is a sequel to the first Roller Coaster Legends game, and like the first game, this is a 6-minute long roller coaster ride in VR. It is gorgeous to look at. It is, compared to the first game, everything is prettier, everything is smoother, everything is brighter, everything is better with this game than it was in the first game. They even added, after you've completed the experience one time, it's hard to call it a game. Once you complete the experience the first time, you could go through it again with your Move controllers and try picking up artifacts through the entire adventure. The downside, if there is one, is that it's only a 6-minute long experience.
Yeah.
And after you do that, that's basically it. On the bright side, it's only $6. So it's a buck a minute.
So it's $1 a minute.
It's a buck a minute. It's a really, really cool experience to go through. The fact that they added game mechanics with the artifact collecting on subsequent playthroughs gives it that replayability factor. A downside is there are no trophies in this game. Similar to the first game, I think they treat it more like an app than a game, because there's no trophies to earn at all. I was hoping after adding the artifact collecting that they would put some kind of trophies in this one. Unfortunately, no. But as it stands, $6 for a 6-minute long VR roller coaster experience. As long as your stomach can handle it. I made the mistake of playing it today while I wasn't feeling that great and didn't really do me that well today. But for the most part, it's a really, really cool experience. It's one of those games that you'll bust out when you have company over and be like, hey, have you ever done VR before? No. Well, let me show you this. And you pop it on their head.
Also, here's a puke bucket.
Yeah. But as it stands, $6, I give it a buy it. It's worth picking up. It's really cool. And it's just a really, really fun experience. Short and sweet.
Nice. Can we just acknowledge, though, that like there's been a rash of games coming out relating to Norse mythology and Helheim? And
yeah,
like, I can think of 3 in the last 3 months.
Yeah, but this one is an interactive roller coaster,
which makes it all the weirder that it's rooted in Helheim.
Yeah. It's real. Once you get down to Helheim, oh my God, was that fucking creepy. That was awesome. Like, just seeing, like, these gigantic skulls with these eyes staring at you. It's like, whoa, I kind of want to take the headset off because that's creepy as shit.
But, why do you not stream this?
Maybe I will for all 6 minutes of it. But
yes.
Yeah, that's the only real downside is that it's short, but it's meant to be. You don't want to be on a 20-minute long roller coaster ride. It's like, let me get off this fucking thing. Oh my God, I feel sick. How can I stop? Oh my God, I can't even pause this. Normally there's one button. That's the triangle button, which restarts it. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it again.
One more time. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Unforeseen Incidents, developed by Backwoods Entertainment, published by Application Systems Heidelberg, released May 24th on Steam for $19.99. Unforeseen Incidents is a classical-style interactive mystery set in a beautifully hand-painted world. Join Harper Pendrell and experience a challenging investigation, smart dialogue, and a rich cast of characters in this thrilling new adventure game. Dark Mika, check this one out. Or Dark Mike is Suzanne on the ID stream like to call her. Check this one. Check this one out. And you're going to read this one, huh?
I am. I am the voice of Mika.
Because
Mika. We're going to start calling her Mika is, just to get her.
My voice is basically gone right now, so I'm actually thinking the last. This is probably going to be the last review of the show.
All right. Unforeseen Incidents is a point-and-click game. All right, it's already up my alley. you play as a handyman named Harper. He's not too bright, but he makes up for it by being amusing. Harper's hometown is quarantined, and I use that term disgustingly lightly because they do. Town is quarantined, but you can leave. People already have supposedly not a very good quarantine. Okay. Anyway, there's some sort of virus, plague, something. No one really knows what it is. Within hours of coming into contact with it, you die very painfully, I might add. And you can find the symptoms listed on the flyers around the town. Not pleasant. Harper wakes up and goes to repair a laptop for the local super genius professor, who just so happens probably to be trying to find a cure. After you fix it, you plan to go home and sleep away the next few months because that's what Harper does. A man after my own heart. Doing things, fuck that. Let's sleep. Yes. Just yes. However, because it would be a boring game to do that, you come in contact with a dying woman because of course you do. Why not? She tasks you with uncovering the conspiracy of the virus, but she doesn't really explain anything before she is carted off by the local, I think, pharmaceutical company. Yeah, they took over the quarantine. They're finding a cure, not the government, because why would they? The story is all over the place. Some bits are really good, others are facepalm all the way. It's fairly basic, and if you've seen a movie about viral outbreaks in towns and how people had to find cures, you know generally how the game is going to go, especially when you know there's a conspiracy. However, the gameplay is fairly damn solid. Using the spacebar, you can show everything you can interact with on a screen for a limited time, which has indefinite use, though I forgot it existed on a regular basis. The logic of the game is great. Everything you do makes sense, even if it's not always clear. Once you know the answer, it becomes an obvious, no shit, of course you have to do that concept. Just getting to the point isn't always easy. I spent about an hour trying to figure out one puzzle that honestly was so easy and so stupidly obvious that I had not checked for the answer, I'd probably still be on it, and it would still be just as fucking obvious what I'd need to do, but I'd never have guessed it. Nice. Everything is voice acted, and the acting is super. It's still going. I just had to breathe. Everything is voice acted and the acting is superb. Everyone that's important has a bit of snark and it's fantastic. Every chapter flips to a new place and I think there's 6 or 7 total, each one is decent sized. A bit of a drawback to some people, there's a lot of backtracking. I don't see that as much of an issue because most of the maps aren't huge, but it does occasionally get annoying as fuck. But again, most of the maps are smallish, only a handful of areas, so backtracking doesn't take forever. Thank fuck for that. For $20, you'll probably get your money's worth in gameplay out of this. The main characters' snarky attitudes toward each other is great, and their interactions are pretty damn funny. The logic of the game is proper. This isn't one of those goofy ones like the Monkey Island games, which have weird damn solutions to shit. It also has a good mixture of easy and hard puzzles sprinkled in every chapter, giving you something to tease your brain with, then a bunch of easier stuff so the brain can recuperate. I think the game is worth a buy. I think even if you don't usually enjoy the genre, this game will probably get you just because of its characters.
Nice. Sounds good. Oh, man. But yeah, that is going to be it for this episode. I am falling apart, and our last review is going to have to wait till next episode. So apologies to Maximum Games and Breakpoint Studio, but Tennis World Tour will have to wait. I'm dying. I need to end this show. So, Cole, give me some final words so I could end it.
Please don't die. Okay, thanks. Bye.
hey, 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 you all right.